Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Is science for everyone, or just for those who can afford its benefits? Well, today we're going to be discussing that theme and many more that are shared, actually, between the IPs Ironheart and Jurassic World Rebirth. This is one of our What's News episodes. We're talking about new things in our fandoms with the Ironheart TV series and the Jurassic World Rebirth film being just released. We felt like we had to talk about it. So we're here. I am Joshua Knoll here with TJ Tiberius on Blackwell. Of course, as always, we're ready. Since we're live, we would love any shout outs. If you guys want to listen to where you're listening from, those who are watching live, we will we'll shout it out as you comment. Right now, we have no viewers, but if you jump in and hear this, let us know where you're from. We'll shout it out. For now, though, TJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good to have you. You know, if you're like TJ, see, TJ is a really kind and considerate person, and kind and considerate people rate and review our show on Podchaser or Goodpod, especially if they're using a laptop, you know, because it's just convenient to go to one of those websites, and it helps our show gain recognition and make it easier to find in search engines like Google and Yahoo and et cetera. But if you're on your phone and you still want to be like TJ and being kind and considerate, you can rate, review, or comment on our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, which helps prioritize our show in those algorithms. I mean, most people listen to podcasts on those apps, so that helps a lot. It's free, only takes a few seconds, and that would make you awesome. Not quite as awesome as TJ, but still pretty close, you know? Pretty close.
Yeah, it's a hard bar to clear.
yeah. He commented so hard that he just had to start being on the podcast.
Yeah, I was not involved when this started.
Yeah, this is actually just still him commenting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His comment just lasted this long.
Yeah, I really like long-form content.
But that's just funny. Anyway, we would like to shout out our sponsors. So we want to say thank you to all of our supporters on Apple Podcasts, Captivate, and Patreon. Today, we're going to specifically shout out Jonathan Augustine. You rock, man. And guys, if you want your own shout out like Jonathan, you too can support our show for $3 a month on one of those three platforms, Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon. So with that, I don't see any shout outs in our live chat yet. So we're going to go ahead and move right on to the infamous lightning round that we do here for our What's News episodes. So, TJ, start us off. Other than our two main topics, what's new that that you think deserves a quick shout out?
Well, it's not out yet, but Leve's new album is coming up. It's a big deal. That's huge.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I've kind of stepped back from the cultural zeitgeist for the moment to focus on more of bad old habits. Yeah. So is Valorant has a new map out. It's called Corrode. That was
the name of the game.
It's pretty cool. Corrode, it's interesting. I can't wait to see how the meta develops. And, you know, I've started to look at the game from a lot more anthropological point of view, because it really is interesting to, you know, see how all these people interact with each other over the course of 20, 25 rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And if anyone's interested in doing like a postdoc anthropological, you know, project, reach out to me. I want to be involved. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Anything else?
What else is new? Been playing a game called Witchfire a lot recently. Yeah. It's cool. It's pretty innovative. FPS, roguelike, souls-like. It's, you know, it's a lot of buzzwords, but it's really a super fun experience. It's still in early access. So I can't wait to see what the full build of the game looks like and when that releases.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I for myself, there's a new Captain America comic. Chip Zdarsky has started his run finally. Not my favorite so far, but it's Captain America. So it's my favorite current run because it's the current run that's featuring Captain America. And I mean, it's really low bar to hit. You know, you write the comic, you include Captain America, you pretty much you hit it, you know. Just like, you know, Jurassic movies. My bar pretty much was there dinosaurs? And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Spoiler, we sure are. There were dinosaurs in the movie.
There was at least one.
Yeah. See, outside of that, Hunger in the Dusk is finally back, so we're getting some more new comics there. I think they wrapped up Sonic vs. DC, those comics. I know I've been reading Mr. Terrific comics, as well as some of the crypto comics they're releasing for the summer of Superman with the DC, although I haven't seen the movie, so that might make me a loser. I don't know, probably. Let's see, what else? Ooh, Will will love this. They're still releasing the Kingdom Hearts 3 manga, so I've been following that, so I guess that counts as new since they're still releasing it. Although Kingdom Hearts 3 is not new, just the manga is. And other fun news thing for me specifically, so that Will can take another drink. They did have, this is going to be really weird. They did have, like, so in Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, the whole game is based around a card system. They released the playing cards at one point and then stopped actually producing them. So you couldn't just buy them from the stores. You had to get them from like eBay or something. News is, this year they're going to be releasing them again. So I can actually get my own set of playing cards from Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. And I'm really thinking about making this wall instead of displaying my diplomas and looking like a smart person. I think I'm just going to have a Kingdom Hearts wall and be true to myself, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's also something I've been thinking about lately, is I should just start being Kingdom Hearts true to myself.
Oh, yeah. What would that look like, PJ?
I don't know.
Just do it exactly what you're doing already. Yeah. Fun. The other one, I guess we'll talk about more in the thing, too. But, you know, Jurassic World Evolution 3 is coming out soon. That's new.
True.
I'm excited for that. You're probably not going to get it when it releases, but
no.
I got the second one. Now I'm going to play it until the third one goes on sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good few years of content in there anyway. So,
yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. So, anything else new and lightning-y for you?
Not for me.
Yeah, I think I'm good too. All right. But check back Comic Book Ketchup, Manga Mustard. We'll probably have more new stuff over there at some point if you want more lightning or just stuff. But it's time to talk Ironheart and Jurassic World Rebirth. We're going to start with Ironheart. We're going to go over both topics probably pretty quick because they have a lot of shared themes that I want to dig in a little bit deeper in. We're going to do broad strokes now. We'll get a little bit more in detail with the themes a little bit later on here. So, DJ, let's start with Ironheart. I'm actually really curious. What is your history with this property or character, you know? Did you know who Riri Williams was out before, like, the Black Panther Wakanda? Or
yeah, so like I'd heard about Riri Williams just because, you know, like being in the scene, people want to talk, you know, mad trash about whatever is new. So I saw some of that when she was introduced or reintroduced, I should say, in the comics around the time. But other than that, no, like not before, you know, they decided to bring Riri Williams into the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I heard of her. I think she was on some of the like the new Avengers team stuff, but like I never cared because in my mind, I'm like, this is someone supposed to be like Iron Man. I don't like Iron Man. Why do I need a new Iron Man? I didn't. That was the answer. I didn't need a new Iron Man.
Yeah,
I didn't even want the old Iron Man. I actually, after seeing some of the show, I actually did go back and read some of the Bendis run where I think he was the first one to introduce this character, Ironheart. I despise her character in the comics. It's one of those where, like, in the comic, she was just too good. It was like, oh, yeah, this is a character with no flaws, because when we do diversity, obviously the only way to show diversity is for whatever the diverse character is to be completely flawless so that we know that they're cool, too. Which actually turns out just makes a bad character, regardless of anything. Doesn't matter ethnicity, sex, any of that stuff. If you make a flawless character, they will be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which I kind of feel like the show overcorrected on that.
Maybe.
She's extremely flawed in the show. I actually feel like the comic book and the show, Riri Williams, are vastly different characters. They're just not the same, other than the name. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I feel like they've done a much better job with her outside of the comic book.
I think so too, actually. I prefer the show version, even though she kind of sucks. A sucky character is way more interesting than a flawless character.
Yeah. And it's like, even before then, like in Black Panther, like she wasn't super interesting.
Yeah. I just didn't care for that movie.
And that was my problem. She was a lot more interesting than she was in the comic book. So.
Yeah. Again, low bar, which is funny because I actually do like Bendis. I just, never care too much about this particular character. Even in Wakanda Forever, I think the problem was I didn't care too much for the movie at all. So none of the characters stood out to me. I was very reluctant to watch that film, mostly because of the female lead who's going to be the new Black Panther. My brain's blanking on the actress name, but that actor is supposed to be like, you know, the character is supposed to be like the super science person. And the actor was very much against the COVID vaccines. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to support this human, actually. I did, but I was reluctant to, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Wakanda Forever is pretty good. I think Namor was awesome.
Namor was cool. Yeah. Also, I think I liked the whole plot with that, actually. It was all pretty great. Yeah. All right. So as far as the Ironheart television series, TJ, if you had to rate it 0 to 10, the part that you actually watched, I don't know if you watched all of it or just the first episode or what, but where were you putting it?
I did just watch the first episode. That was very insightful. I had other things to watch.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't like grip me.
Episode one. How would you rate that one?
Probably like 8. Like it was pretty good. Yeah. You know, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And I liked what they did. I liked how they were setting her up. It felt very Atlanta or Bird, like in that like modern premiere TV kind of way, like, you know, hip hop soundtrack, very pop cultural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Soundtrack was on point.
Yeah, it's not something that I'm like tired of. It's just not something that I was been in the mood for.
That checks out. I think part of what helps me, I went in with extremely low expectations because I didn't care that much for Wakanda Forever. I don't really care that much for Riri Williams. The last MCU show I remembered was Agatha, which I didn't even finish. So my expectations were pretty low coming into this. And they far exceeded that extremely low bar. But yeah, going in, I think if I didn't have any spoilers, this is one of those shows I might not have finished. And I think I have the same thing with you, like that first episode, maybe even the first two episodes. I was like, OK, I mean, it was really good. Well done. I'm never into like the super tech heroes anyway. It's not even about like, yes, I don't like Tony Stark as a person, but also even outside of that, tech heroes just don't interest me the same way. But since I knew that the series, and we are going to spoil it for you guys watching, warning, here you go. I knew ahead of time Mephisto was going to be revealed, and I knew it involved someone being brought back from the dead. So when I watched it, I was like, yeah, I'm not super interested in this, but I want to know how this gets to that, you know, and yeah. I was in it for that ride, and it was done so well. I actually think I never would have put the Iron characters with Mephisto personally, like if I was to just write a storyline. But thinking back on it, it just makes so much sense because so much of like Tony Stark and who he was is the embodiment of utilitarianism, which you guys know is like a philosophy that I despise with a passion of like whatever it takes to, you know, see people saved, to do the right thing. It doesn't matter how we get there as long as we get there. That's just his whole motto. And putting that, juxtaposing that with Mephisto, who's like, yeah, whatever it takes to make the deal. If I find someone who's really willing to take the bait. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to help you save the world, dude. Yeah. Just come with me. And it's like literally making the deal with the devil. And it's like, yeah, man. And even some of the stuff that's said in the last episode makes me wonder, did Tony Stark make a deal with him? He might have.
Yeah,
it seems pretty possible, actually.
It's a crazy way to bring Mephisto in.
It's sick, though,
which, is probably why they did it, because they knew like if this is just about Riri becoming Ironheart, like it'll get a few million watchers because we're Marvel. But if we put Mephisto in there, we'll get some real views because they'll have to come see this show to understand what we're going to do with Mephisto.
Yeah. And that was like, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here because I don't think this is as much part of the Jurassic World film stuff. But the utilitarian thing, I loved how well their commentary on that in this show does, which there's a few different components to it that's interesting. One is, of course, and this is something that we will touch on more later, But a lot of times right now, a lot of people's complaints, who are especially more conservative people, complain that everything has to be woke now. You're just gender swapping or this swapping, you know, race swapping, whatever, with the characters. But here there's an actual point to it. Riri is trying to prove something. You know, she was treated a certain way because of who she is, and she's trying to prove she can be better than Tony Stark. She can make a better suit just because she can. And that's one of those where, like, her motivation depends on that. So it's an integral part of the story, her race, her upbringing, all that. So I actually really appreciated that. And what I love that they didn't do is make it about race. You know, it is sort of, but like, it's actually just about, like, hey, she didn't have money, which I think is like where the real disparity lies. It is hard to go from lower class to upper class right now in America. And if you want to do the things that Tony Stark does, you can't be lower class. Like, that's just not a thing.
No. And I do feel like it is discrediting, you know. The series starts with Riri being like, yeah, I need more money. Do you think Tony Stark would be Iron Man without money? Yes. Yes, I do. I do think he would be Iron Man without the money. He built his first suit in a cave.
But the only way he was able to build his first suit in the cave is because he had lots of money and developed incredible weapons, and that those people were able to bring him the weapons that he already purchased and developed. So if he didn't have money, that still wouldn't have happened.
But if someone else had developed the weapons, he still would have been able to do it.
If he was able to get his hands on it. Which, again, I don't think he would have.
Well, unless he had captured him, put him in a cave, and said, build us some weapons.
Yeah.
And the only reason they did that, okay, bring me weapons,
is because he was famous, because he was rich. Like, okay, I still think it all goes back to him having money. Like, I don't think it happens if he doesn't have money.
But he could have done it without the money.
If he was put in the right situation. Which, the same thing's true with Riri, I feel like. She could do it without, in fact, she does do it without the money. But it's just one of those. Yeah, that was another weird thing. Actually, that is like the thing that I think is most problematic. So in the beginning, she's at like MIT, she's all these things. And I can give them that, even MIT, the kind of suits that Tony was building at the end of his career. Yeah, MIT don't have that kind of money. You don't get nanotech with MIT money.
No.
But yeah, they have money, but not that kind of money. I give them that. But the fact that like it goes from that being like a huge point, and then at the end, the coolest suit she builds is like partially due to magic, so I got to give him that. But also, she just built it of parts from an old car. I'm like, dude, yeah,
which is sick.
Like, yeah, it's sick. But I'm like, I feel like you could have done that at MIT. You know,
yeah,
like, they could have bought you a car.
Probably. I feel like, you know, when you get into the world of research, it's easy to want to overreach for your grant money because you think, okay, well, they probably want to prove that, but they might meet me in the middle. I think if you were just realistic and you told the Institute that you needed a 1969 Plymouth Barracuda, they would have been like, okay, I think we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. But I also, the utilitarian thing, I think part of it is that they were just overplaying their hand with that. Like, they were just trying too hard for it. Like, I like the message, but I think that's part of what was happening there, is they wanted to show that she would do anything to be able to make her suit. So she's, you know, helping other kids cheat, and then that she's willing to go with this bad crew. Like, they're really overemphasizing. She was willing to do anything to do that, you know, just like Tony Stark was very much, I'll do anything to, you know, achieve my goals. His goals, I think, were more altruistic than her goals, but it's still that utilitarian mindset. And then to see that clash head on with Mephisto at the end going, are you willing to do anything? I'll give you anything. And it's just like, dang. Yeah, that's how that story arc should end. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like they played it too hard, and that's why they have some that weird MIT and her doing a lot of honestly really bad things. She is not a great person, but that's something else I love all throughout it. I'll do this for Pastor Will. She's shown to be a sinner and a saint, right? She's doing the absolute worst things, but also is like, am I a good person? And wants to be good. I also think that's one advantage that it has, though, the actress being pretty young and starting her off as someone who's this non-heroic gives you a lot more to grow. So, you know, it's cool. I'm actually excited to see where they go next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm excited for more magic. You have lots of magic characters introduced, including a few that's in Strange Academy. And they've already said they're going to do a Strange Academy TV show. For those who don't know, that comic run was by Scotty Young, one of my all-time favorite comic writers. So let's do it. I'm here for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
So yeah, at the end, I'd probably give it an 8 too. That was a long way for me to say I agree with TJ.
Really long.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as like things you're looking forward to in this, like, you know, a lot of stuff's revealed with magic. Mephisto, Riri gets a magic tech version of the suit. Like, it's both magic and tech. Super cool. Also, just the effects at the end are super cool. The hood, stripped of the hood and is looking for help. You have Obadiah Stein's child introduced, Zeke Stein, and he still wants revenge for Riri. There's a lot of loose ends here. TJ, from what you know, is there anything that you're like looking forward to seeing?
No.
What he means by that is he's looking forward to Strange Academy also.
Mephisto in a movie.
True. He mentions that he has other people he's making deals with. I'm hoping that that's just a, hey, we're going to get Ghost Rider soon. That's what I'm
going to know. Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah.
Mephisto appearing in Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Doomsday just ends with Mephisto.
Realistically, that would be...
That'd be great.
Where he's going to show up is in Doomsday.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, it is said, he says in the show, he has made of the Forbes 100 richest men, he's made a deal with 100 of them, plus three kings and three popes and who else, which makes me think Tony Stark definitely made a deal with them, because
yeah, he has to be on that list. Well, he's dead.
Absolutely. He's dead now.
So maybe not.
So yeah, it's possible not. But given Tony's personality and everything else, I feel like probably. Also, could explain why Doomsday happens.
Yeah.
Or partially.
Comics explain. Tony definitely would have.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
MCU Tony, maybe not.
Yeah. If I agree. All right. Since you didn't see it, I feel like there's nothing else to be said about this till we get to some of the other stuff. So you want to talk Jurassic World Rebirth?
Well, I mean, you could still list your favorites from the series.
Oh, yeah. Man, this is... Mephisto ends up being my favorite. It's just like that last episode. I'm like, Mephisto. Yes. I want more of it. And also the actor and everything. Like, it was so, it's just perfect. I can't say enough good things about Mephisto. Favorite scene. I'm actually, this is lame. I'm going to go with the final fight between Riri and the hood. Mostly because there's two really cool parts of it. One, like, she uses the iron suit's magic abilities and has like a, she hit B down. That's what happened. Yeah, it's a video game now. And you see like the magic that looked kind of like Doctor Strange plus electric blast. That was cool. She does a fake self-destruct move once and he thinks he's going to shoot her because she's without the suit. And nope, it was a hologram of her. She just played him hard. It was great. That whole fight scene was just fantastic. My favorite visual would also be the same thing. So yeah.
All right.
Sometimes. All right. Jurassic World Rebirth. Let's go.
All right.
My first question, TJ, for those who are like me and it's like, hey, I want to watch this, but only if there's a dinosaur in it. Was there a dinosaur in it?
Yes. One.
Sounds like a great movie.
One.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Not only were there dinosaurs in it, there were not dinosaurs in it.
Like
which,
humans?
Which is to say like and non-dinosaurs. And also non-humans. And maybe both at the same time in the same character.
Yeah. Just random mutated things everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, TJ, I love that. Actually, we watched this together. It was a lot of fun. What's your history with Jurassic franchise in the character? Oh, like, well, I feel like this is a weird question.
I've been alive for 26 years. So, yeah, I don't know. That's been Jurassic my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. When did the first Jurassic Park movie come out?
1993.
Well, I don't remember that first year of my life. So as far back as I remember, this has been a part of my life.
Yeah. Like I used to watch Jurassic Park 3 on DVD all the time, a couple times a day. It would just be in there constantly.
Yeah. I remember being homeschooled in fifth grade and then again in high school. Literally every time this came on, I was like, well, weird. My classes suddenly got pushed back to later.
Yeah.
I'm stopping to watch this now.
Yeah. Odd how that happens.
It was weird.
So, yeah, completely involved in the series for my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like for me, actually for both of us, sort of for me growing up, I would even go to the Jurassic Island part of Universal's Island of Adventure. That was one of my favorite things to do there. I loved it. You got that cool water ride, the little pterodactyl flying things, the music, taking pictures next to the Jeep. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, once, me and my friend TJ and our other friend, the three of us, we were hanging out and at Universal, it started raining. We discovered like there's like what's that called? It's not like a maze.
It's pretty much just a fancy jungle gym.
Yeah.
But it's called Camp Jurassic, I think.
Yeah, and there's like tunnels and rope courses and just water guns. And we're like, you know what? There's literally no one in the park right now because it's thunderstorming. We can't ride anything. We just ran around there like crazy people. And it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was great. Yeah. It was really cool. Super fun. But yeah,
my best memories.
I was a big dinosaur kid growing up. The first chapter book I ever read was about dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And I read Jurassic Park not super long after that.
Yeah.
And the movies just were always on somewhere. It's just always been there.
Me and my wife, Tiffany, anytime we're shopping and we see something with a dinosaur on it, we're like, hey, should we get that for TJ? Literally every time. Not exaggerating. Even when it's like happy third birthday and it's got a picture of a dinosaur. I'm like, should I get that for TJ's birthday?
It's a good birthday card.
I think it'd be funny.
Yeah. That's a good birthday card.
I think so. Yeah. So anyway, we got a lot of history with this. If you had to just like briefly summarize what happens in the film, how would you explain this movie? Because for me, like Jurassic World was a trilogy. It ended. And now we have Jurassic World Rebirth. That's like, I don't know. Is this the fourth Jurassic World movie or is this like its own set thing? Or like how do you?
I mean, it's called Jurassic World. So it's the fourth Jurassic World movie.
Just weird. The fourth movie of the trilogy.
Yeah, it's like a new thing because a lot of the problems that people have had with Jurassic World as it's gone on is like, how are the dinosaurs still alive? Our environment's not good for that. And Rebirth tries to answer those questions. And of course, they can't do that without turning to the five deaths, the five islands that Hammond originally bought and was like, well, not originally, but retconned to have originally bought and turned into dinosaur islands. And Rebirth comes to answer those questions. So we find out over the course of the movie that all the dinosaurs that are still alive, because they are dying off because this world is not built for them. They can't breathe enough oxygen to sustain themselves, and it's hard to feed them. And it's bad. It's a bad time to be a dinosaur in today's age, because if you're not aware, all the Jurassic World movies just take place in the year that they're released. So,
Which is pretty convenient. So we don't have to think too hard.
Yeah. And then we find out they all live on the equator, and most of them are dead now. Because in Fallen Kingdom and Rebirth, we find out that, hey, what's up, Nick?
Nick Polk.
Nick Polk.
The most handsome Tolkien scholar I know says, what's up? Also, he loves the film too, which means we're in good company. Also, we love Nick. That's all.
Yeah. If you're a Tolkien head, go head over to Tolkien Pop. Check out what he does.
Yeah, great stuff. For sure. In fact, check it out twice. Make two Substack accounts and subscribe twice. Yeah.
But the plot for us, we are going from finding that out initially, and then we find out that Big Pharma has their hands in the needles, right? Thank you. And you get to the point where we get Scarlett Johansson leading a team to collect DNA samples from these, the driving forces, these three dinosaurs with the biggest hearts. Which is kind of cute, not necessarily true, just because they
cute little scientist.
Yeah, and they take their, museum commissioner out with them because he knows the most about dinosaurs, and they don't bring back any old guests like they did in the first three Jurassic World movies. They're like, well, in Dominion, they're like, let's get everybody back. Rebirth, it's all new, baby. Mm-hmm. All new. Yeah. And Scarlett Johansson is our lead, and she does a phenomenal job. But we follow their actions through this island was called Los Muertos or something. Like, Bad Island. Bad Island. And we find out that this is the real experimenting island. So we watch them try and survive their escapade through the real scary island, which has mutant dinosaurs on it. This is where they kept all the ones that were too unfit for any of the parks.
The genetic experiments that didn't work out. I think my favorite part were when all the scary dinosaurs got together and saying, we are not just a misfit. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here on our island of misfit dinos, we just go through that. And on their way to the island, they, take down the Mosasaur, get its blood sample, and also rescue our little side family.
Yeah.
And they're involved.
I I really feel like the thing that aggravated me the most about the responses to this film, there was a lot of things that aggravated me about the responses, but the thing that aggravated me the most, where how many people complained that was like, oh, there was this other family and it was like two different stories and it just didn't make sense. And I'm like, did they just not watch the film? Like, that's what killed me is I'm like, hey, the family was with the crew before they got to the island. B, they're actually kind of the entire point. Like, because the whole thing was like, it went from it's Jurassic World. It's about this whole worldwide. And this is like one of my soapboxes. How many movies have the world at stake all the time? Even I love Supernatural, the television series. It even bothered me with that. It's like, oh, all of your reality is at stake. The demons are going to take over or, you know, this. And like everything has to be like, oh, literally hell's breaking loose or Marvel has to have like literally the whole planet's at stake. And I'm like, man, I miss like friendly neighborhood Spider-Man being about saving his friendly neighborhood, you know,
just Queens. Just Queens is in danger.
Yeah. And that's like what's really cool for me in this is like, hey, the main story plot seems to be, oh, hey, we're going to do this experiment. We're going to figure out this drug and it's about saving the world and prolonging people's life. And it's like this big picture thing. And at the end, you see, yeah, actually, it's just about ordinary people just getting what they need. And without that family, I just don't feel like you have that perspective. And I love that they included that.
Yeah. And we do go through like Scarlett Johansson's whole right.
Yeah. Nika.
They do perfectly execute an A plot and a B plot with a reconciliatory ending. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous to throw that claim at this movie that they don't feel connected. Like they really do. And they really are well connected. Getting them together, the father building a boat, sailing his daughter across the sea to New York University. That's a little crazy, but it's realistic. People do that or have done that.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Like, they got attacked by a mosasaur. That's not their fault.
Yeah.
Could have happened to anybody.
Yeah. Well, especially if the premise of the movie is that people are tired of dinosaurs anyway. They're just so ordinary. That's like a regular part of life. And now they're starting to die off and they're only in like this one area. Like, I feel like he probably just didn't even really think that much about it. Like, yeah, dinosaur, whatever.
Yeah.
They haven't really messed with us that much.
Oh, they only live on the equator. Okay. The Earth's huge, if you haven't noticed. It's pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
Most of the equator is ocean.
Yeah. And I'm going to pick on our good friend, Pastor Will Rose. I love him. But one of his complaints, which I think is partially legitimate, but I'm going to say that I explain it and I'm going to be arrogant and say I think I might understand this a little bit better than Will because of experience. Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe I'm just an arrogant loser, jerk, stupid head.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, he talks about how one of the things that took him out of the film a little bit was how the dad's leg got injured. And sometimes he was like able to run and he's trying to get away. And then sometimes he's like, oh, I need my kid's help. And he's like, that doesn't make sense. Man, as someone whose leg regularly hurts terribly all the time. Yes, when I need to, I can run. And then usually immediately afterwards, I can't lean over. You know, like that's a pretty normal experience for me. So it didn't take me out of the film. It was a different kind of injury. So there is that. But also, it's just one of those where I'm like, yeah, actually, sometimes that's just how pain works. I get that.
Yeah. They never even, like, confirm what happened to his leg. I assume, like, hairline fracture.
Yeah, something. Who knows?
Because he could walk on it. Like, I've broken my leg before pretty badly.
Also, the film, to be honest, the film did just want an excuse to make the kids do more things. Because, you know, kids were doing stuff in the first Jurassic Park movie. And that's kind of, you know, nostalgia berries. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I remember do think was one of the goals of the movie. And I think they pulled it off pretty well. It feels fairly reminiscent of the first Jurassic Park film. We've got that same sense of wonder. Like, there's new dinosaurs, new, also, to its credit, very realistic dinosaurs. And I'm going to give credit where it's due. When Jurassic World 3 came out, it was being made. Asset 87, the Spino in Jurassic World 3. That's just what we thought they looked like back then. And it feels like every year at this rate, we find out new information about the Spinosaurus. It's like, actually, it was smaller and uglier and slower and worse overall.
Yeah. But I mean, also, there's part of why the weird genetics. I love Nick. But part of why some of the weird genetic experiment stuff just makes a lot of sense to me is because exactly how we make sense of the movies, like the way the Jurassic Park 1 came out. And that's like what we thought dinosaurs were. And then later, like when the Jurassic World movies are coming out, we're like, oh, actually, they probably had feathers and had this. And we had to explain why we brought dinosaurs back, and the dinosaurs we brought back aren't like the original dinosaurs now that we know a little bit more. And the best explanation was, yeah, there was DNA gaps and we filled it in to the best of our knowledge for what we think happened in their genetic code. And then we realized That's not true. So now we have these genetic freak dinosaurs that aren't actually what the dinosaurs looked like. Yeah, no, that just makes sense.
Yeah, it's very, very sensible. This, in Rebirth, this is the island of genetically correct dinosaurs, apparently. The Quetzal is pretty correct for what we know. Titanosaurus is pretty much correct. They do have like 7 accurate Spinosaurus. It rocks. And yeah. Of course, like the old incorrect Dilophosaurus does show up. It's there for a few seconds and it runs away from the super mega huge T-Rex.
Yeah. Also, the T-Rex looked silly, but it was fun because it was like, gotta have a T-Rex scene. Yeah. And it had to be with the family.
And the T-Rex was massive.
Yeah.
And it was great. They act a lot more like animals. I just like Jurassic World Rebirth a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. And again, like the theme, can't get over how much, and we're going to get more into this, but like this theme of like everybody's coming either because of money or because they care about like this whole like huge view of like the planet and what good we can do. And just like having that juxtaposed with like just this family that just wants to live their life and then overlaying it with this message of like, hey, yeah, science shouldn't just be for rich people. What if it was accessible to like everybody and we didn't have to rely on like big pharma? And it's like the fact that they're having this message and then it ends when they're like, you know what, we are going to release this to everybody sitting across in a small boat in this just ordinary family trying to get by. And you're like, yep, that's I think it's the most powerful message of any of the Jurassic World movies.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I won't say that about the Jurassic Park movies.
But yeah, they definitely tried to make a real statement with Fallen Kingdom and Dominion. I just don't think it lands as well as it does in Rebirth. Because in Rebirth, we see, you know, Zora Dennett, Scarlett Johansson walk away from at least $10 million.
God, yeah, it was wild.
So it lands.
Yeah. Well, and part of why she learned her lesson is because people died. Like, and that's just realistic. Like, too many movies, in my opinion, too many movies now, someone changes their heart because they realize they love their family more than they love money. People don't learn lessons that way. I wish they did. Like, that'd be cool. But like, no, that doesn't happen. But you see people that you that were close to you or like real people just straight up eaten. Yeah, that gets you to rethink things. That definitely makes you rethink things.
Yeah, I have never seen it. I do feel like seeing someone get eaten would be worse than seeing someone get shot, which is implied that we've just or a bit. It's been through quite a few times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's gotta suck.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
But we did mention a little bit, really, I want to say main focus, main antagonist is definitely still the people because it's still Jurassic World, but main dinosaur antagonistic force are mutants, and pretty scary mutants. If you are on YouTube, I've had a picture of two of them on the screen. That's why we switched topics. The Distortus Rex and the Mutadon. Horrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Great. I don't think the D-Rex got enough screen time, but I do think it was the right move just to kind of ease the impact of its appearance, because that thing's ugly.
Yeah, I think it's
unsettling.
I legitimately think if it was on the screen much more, they probably would have ended up with an R rating, which would have been cool, but I think that might also be part of the thing. Because I know at one point this was going to be an R-rated film. So that probably was planned. Where they were like, yeah, we're going to have more of this. It's going to be terrifying. People are going to be dropping F-bombs because they're terrified because everyone's just dying. And then they're like, yeah, what if we made it PG-13 and got more people to watch the movie?
Yep. Thankfully, it did have one glaring weakness, light, because it was raised in complete darkness. So they were able to kind of get around that and use a flare to escape and live, which is fun. The Mutadons, however, I think were way scarier because they were just out of their minds at this laboratory. And they were like, people are bored of velociraptors. What can we do? And someone was like, make them fly.
Yeah, terrifying. Terrible concept. Yeah.
We also see it straight up murder two velociraptors on the island and eat one of them.
One of those scenes was really funny.
Yeah, it was. Really funny. And that's another thing. Like, Rebirth brings back the camp. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's intentionally funny, and it doesn't play it up at all. It just has funny scenes in it, and you were supposed to watch that and be like, oh, man, that was funny. The characters aren't supposed to think that was funny.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Jurassic Park had a better message than this movie. However, I think the message of this one is more applicable than any of those. Because, like, realistically, I can't do a lot about, like, hey, science, maybe we should have limits on what we do and not just do stuff because we can. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have any political say. It's a great message, man, and not much I could do with it. This, though, maybe I should change my perspective to care more about individual humans. I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
You know what? I was going to give it a 9. I think I still am. Just weird to get for me to give a Jurassic movie higher rating than you, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, but I just...
It was fun.
I don't know if it really deserves a 9.
Yeah. See, I was thinking of it. I was like, I feel like my gut was originally like 8. And then, like, I'm like, I know. I just don't have that many problems with this movie, though. And, like, realistically,
yeah,
I'm far more likely to rewatch this than any other Jurassic World movie.
That is true. But if I'm
going and to more watch than Jurassic Park movies, 3.
Nah. Yeah. I'm watching all three of the Jurassic Park movies before I rewatch this, too.
I solidly know Jurassic Park 2 is like way lower. And then this is a little bit lower than Jurassic Park 2 for me. And then Jurassic Park 3 is a little bit lower than this. And all the other Jurassic World movies are a solid point or two lower than that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm at.
That is fair.
Anyway.
This movie, I will say, is beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous movie. Yeah. The just Titanosaurus the effects, scene?
Everything. Great.
Forget about it. Also, Scarlett Johansson, they try to make her like rugged, you know, super cool, badass. Like, it's just impossible to make Scarlett Johansson not gorgeous. So they tried.
Yeah, accurate.
They tried, and it's just impossible. She's there. She's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
That's just credit to her.
I think my only complaint actually is some of the CGI they do for the background. Sometimes the background is just very obviously green screen.
Yeah, that I'm not looking at the background. I'm looking at dinosaurs.
As you should. I'm just a loser. Yeah. What are you looking forward to with the Jurassic series stuff? I mentioned earlier Jurassic World Evolution 3. It's a tycoon game that's going to be far more detailed than its predecessors, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
In a much more integrate story. To me, the Jurassic World Evolution games do what the movie should have done. Because, like, you know, like Fallen Kingdom's like, oh man, now dinosaurs are everywhere. And they just kind of capitalize on it, but don't really in Dominion. Yeah, the games are like, yeah, no, dinosaurs are everywhere. It is now your job to figure out what to do about that. It's great. I love the games. I feel like they did a much better job of carrying through that part of the story.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
So for me, I feel like Jurassic World is primed to really enter like the video gaming landscape and not in a tycoon way. I think now would be the perfect time to come out with a Jurassic World horror game.
Well, my understanding is they are, right? Isn't it Jurassic Park Survivor? Isn't that going to be the next... I hope. Video game thing they do.
We'll see what happens. I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too.
That I hope also it is very like horror. The like more children's focused content. The cartoons. I'm about to dive into those because I've been hearing some really really good things. But moving forward from Rebirth, I don't know how much farther forward it goes.
Yeah, it's weird. It didn't set up for a sequel. Really, it just kind of told its own story. Like, this is an individual isolated story that just happens to take place in the Jurassic universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it brings it as pretty final.
Yeah.
Because it says like, hey, dinosaurs can only survive in these areas and we're just going to let them.
Yeah. Until, of course, we get Kong versus Godzilla versus Dino. D-Rex. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how to say this name, but somebody commented and I'm acknowledging it. Yeah. All right. So the things in common, if you're cool to move on to that.
Yeah.
So one, of course, being like the female lead, you know, typically, you know, Iron Man obviously was a dude. Typically, our Jurassic movies have been male action figure leads, female leads representing. I think it was cool. I think what I like that they both did is that, like, it wasn't about, oh, hey, look, even crows can be cool. They're there and they're awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson. She's awesome.
Yeah. Ironheart, they kind of let it be part of the story a little bit of like how, you know, male privilege and she doesn't have that. But they don't play it up too much. It's just clearly part of her motivation. I'm like, all right. Jurassic World? Nope. Scarlett Johansson's cool. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's prestigious in her field.
Yeah. But I like seeing more female leads in our nerdy action films and shows. Like, that's cool. The things that I think I appreciate the most, the two main things that I want to get on here is like, one is like, who benefits from scientific advances or technology advances, right? Like in Ironheart, you have this whole storyline of like, she's struggling to get on top because like she came from a lower class family in a lower class part of Chicago. And it's like, she doesn't have the same resources that someone like Tony Stark might have. Jurassic World, you have this like, hey, money is like the driving force for a large part of the movie. And one of the themes is like, hey, the pharmaceuticals trying to capitalize this, make tons of money. And, you know, rich people will be able to get insurance and afford the medicine that they make.
Yep. And nobody else will. Like, capitalism is the driving force of all of Jurassic World up to this point. So yeah. Turning that away at the very end.
That was it. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. So do you have anything else to say about like, just about that? Like, I like that that's part of both of these storylines. I know we touched on a little bit, but I don't know. How do you feel? I mean, obviously, money is necessary, but
I feel just the pharmaceutical sector in general should be completely decapitalized. It should not be a free market.
Yeah, I agree.
Know, people's lives are at stake. That's a whole different ball game than who sells the best toilet brush.
Yeah, and nothing shows that better than dinosaurs eating people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, tech too. I mean, realistically, and this is where some schools do this really well, where like, I actually think we should have more scholarships for people in lower classes. Cause like some of our greatest minds, we maybe never know about simply because they can't afford to go to these top tier colleges and stuff. And that's sad. But, you know, that's what capitalism does when it gets into the school system. So maybe a little bit of decapitalizing the school system too. Clearly MIT won't work for everybody either. Cause some people are just too greedy.
Yep.
I love you, Riri, but I love you because you're flawed. Yeah. All right. And then the last thing is just how do we value life? We talk about it in Jurassic World. The part of Ironheart that I like that has to do with valuing life or choosing how we value life is actually it kind of makes you question, does technology or magic, and I would extend that to spirituality and religion, actually make it harder for us to cope with death? So in the series, you know, she accidentally, and I think probably Mephisto has something to do with this, but that's just fan theory stuff. Ignore me if you want. And she accidentally creates an AI that is able to manifest itself as a hologram that looks exactly like her best friend that she lost at a shooting, right? And at the end of the series, the deal she makes with Mephisto, because she lost that AI program, got destroyed when she added magic to her suit, she makes a deal with Mephisto and literally brings her friend back from the dead. And I think I actually like this. Like, do we use technology or spirituality, mysticism, whatever, as kind of a crutch to deal with death? Or is it able to help us with death? And you see that a lot with like the AI stuff. But I thought that was an interesting aspect, especially when you always see Jurassic World also commenting on like the value of life and how we actually see individuals' lives matter. And when you see death up close, you're like, man, maybe we shouldn't capitalize on the pharmaceutical companies. So I like that we're thinking about the value of life in death and what death means to us. What do you think about all this, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't speak on the Ironheart side of things, but Jurassic World makes it very clear that like, human life is what it's really all about, because we brought these creatures back and against their will, and it's cruel to like hunt them down and, you know, take away the few resources that they do have. And it's short, but they do mention like a couple of activist groups who are still fighting for dinosaur rights. And then Patrick, what's his name? Patrick?
I do not remember.
No, I'm getting confused with the guy from Scooby-Doo 2, live action Scooby-Doo 2.
That's
they
funny.
Look similar. The guy looks just like Seth Green did 20 years ago. But it's my fault. But he's like very, like, hey, these are just animals. So not only human life being valued and that, but dinosaur life, animal life being extremely valuable.
I forgot about that. Because there's that line in the movie too, is like, why wouldn't they just put these monsters that they created down? And even I was sitting in the theater, like, I kind of like, I don't know, I feel like I flinched a little bit at that question. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? Like, yeah, they turned out to not how we expected, and maybe they're like monstrous or, you know, whatever, but like, that's still life. And life still means something, even if it's an accidental weird clone creature thing that you made. You know, I don't know. I even feel, personally, I'm a freak. I feel weird about killing spiders sometimes.
especially if they're outside. I'm like, this is where it lives. Why would it kill it?
Yeah. Why would you kill it?
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I one of the things I really like about Ironheart that's I'm still struggling with is like that question of like technology and how it changes how we interact with death. Because like right now, thinking about AI and like, you know, I feel like most people's reaction is probably like, oh, yeah, creating the AI of your dead best friend in an hologram is probably unhealthy. I imagine at some point people probably thought something similar, like when you had recordings of your loved one's voices or pictures of it. Because like at one point that was breaking technology. And like up until that point, death meant you no longer saw or heard that person anymore. That's not true for us. Now the normal part of coping with death for us is listening to old voicemails, looking at old pictures. But that wasn't always the case. And I'm thinking about this AI thing going, I don't know, man. Obviously, pretending like something's alive that's not is unhealthy. But I also don't want to be that person who's like, oh, new technology, this bad. I don't know. So I'm struggling with that one.
That's interesting.
Also, I also might depend on like if it was the person's choice. Like if for some reason TJ before his death was like, wait, hold up, I'm going to download my consciousness into this AI program. I feel like I'd have less moral quandaries than if you died. And then later, one of our other friends was like, I'm going to program an AI to be TJ since we don't have him anymore. Like, you know, like there's a little bit of a difference, I feel like.
I'd be okay with that, but I will be leaving the show when I die.
No.
Yes. You can only AI me if the AI doesn't have to be on the show.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'd keep doing the show if you died, but this is getting to be a really morbid conversation. Weird how death does that. Yeah. And then the spiritual magic component. Also, they did the line, magic always comes with a price. And in my brain just immediately thought of Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time saying it. And I was like, yeah, this is great. So I don't know. Dealing with death is hard. Caring about all life is important. And not everything should be part of capitalism. Maybe some things should be free to the public and we should prioritize everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, Nick. AIU will be naughty.
AIU will be gross.
Yeah, everybody else's AI might be normal, but not Nick's. Not if I have anything to say about it. Well, we just got canceled and taken off of YouTube, so I'm going to go ahead, if you're cool with it, and wrap this up. Are you good to wrap up?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Better be if AI Nick is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. So... with that wasn't a dinosaur, that was Godzilla, but close enough. You know, the wrap-up sort of what's news, we always have to pick one IP we discussed. Doesn't have to be the main two, could be anything that we just mentioned in passing as your recommendation of the week. So if you had to pick anything that we talked about today, including Kingdom Hearts manga, which one thing would you pick?
Yeah, Jurassic World Rebirth, for sure. Yeah, like, it really is really good.
I think I'm going to agree. I love Kingdom Hearts. The only reason to read that manga is if you're like me and you're just like starving for more Kingdom Hearts content. The only reason to get the playing cards really is collectibles. My understanding is the playing card version of it is stupid, but as a collectible, that's cool. So again, if I'm just recommending something for somebody who isn't obsessed with Kingdom Hearts, yeah, Jurassic World Rebirth for sure. Yeah. So with that then, guys, if you missed the live recording this time, remember you can join our subscribe on YouTube. You'll get every time we pop up live, you'll get a little notification, and we'd love for you to join in the comment section, like our good friend Nick Polk and his naughty AI. Yeah. With that, also, if you're on a laptop, please consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser or GoodPod. It's going to help our show gain recognition and make it easier to find in search engines like Google and Yahoo and stuff like that. If you're on your phone, please consider rating, reviewing, and commenting on our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Yeah, prioritize the show in those algorithms, which is where most people listen to podcasts. It's cheap. It's free. That's how cheap it is. Takes only seconds of your time. And we deeply appreciate it. One thing that does cost more than zero is sponsoring our show on Apple Podcasts, Captivate, and Patreon. So we have to shout out all of our supporters there. We love you guys. You guys rock. But today's special shout out is going to Jonathan Augustine. You're amazing, dude. And if you guys want your own shout out, if you want to be like Jonathan, you too can sponsor our show for $3 a month or more. On one of those platforms, Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon. And of course, we need you all to do one extremely important thing. Just remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of freaks.
Hey, Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. Have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording, like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology? All right, guys. See ya.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here. And I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.